Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on? You are listening to episode 268 of the Nintendo PowerCast. I'm your host, N64 Josh, player 2, Nightcrawler. What's up, dude?
Hey, how's it going? And it's Crawl coming at you.
That's right, that's right. Player 3 tonight, Kurt from Nook's Tavern. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It is going
glad on. To be here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Guys, that music you just heard was from On Being Human. You can check them out on Spotify and YouTube. Remember, this is an unofficial Nintendo podcast. And if you'd like to get yourself a free book from Audible, head on over to n64josh.com/audible, where you can get my book, Another Castle, for free. All right? You want to get a gaming chair that I'm sitting in and that Crawler's sitting in from OP Seat? n64josh.com/opseat automatically saves you $10 at checkout, plus all the chairs are $20 off right now, so that's $30 in savings, free shipping, takes no time to set up, and you're good to go. You're sitting in comfort. Just remember to stand up and walk around, because they're so comfortable you don't want to leave. Lastly, you want to get the paperback version of my book, Another Castle, n64josh.com/anothercastle. With that, we're going to get on over to the announcements.
Listen.
Okay, so first of all, I want to tell you guys about an event that's happening, and I have lost my phone that has my notes in it. This is not good. I don't know where it is.
Professional podcasting.
Yep. No, I found it. Here we go. Here we go. I'm sitting in the dark, kind of. So forgive me, but I want to get this right because I had a special. This is for a friend, but it's also for indie game devs. Game devs, if you use any of the Amazon tools, AWS tools, there's a webinar, an online class coming out. Anyway, here's what's going on. I'll read it to you here. Let's see. There's a lot of great studios that are going to be presenting at this online event that AWS is putting on, including, let's see, Clean Cuts Interactive, Gearbox, Oasis Tech, Ubisoft, and they're going to be showing architecture from games from Capcom, Epic, Panzer Dog, Warner Brothers. And let's see, they're also going to have a Ask the AWS Experts and Community Corner where people can chat and kind of get involved. He said it's going to be very, very educational. So if this is something you're interested in, I do want to double check the date real quick because I forgot to put it right here in the notes. But I believe it is... it is the 20th, but I'm going to double check and find out. While I'm looking this up, let's see. Friday, we've got the Tetris thing going on. Tetris Maximum Cup, right?
I'll talk about it while you look, because I do know kind of what's going on with your stuff.
Okay, cool.
So Josh is going to be racing viewers starting at 11 o'clock. Is it Pacific time, Josh?
Yep.
Is that what time you want to start?
Yep.
So he's going to boot up the stream. And so you have to kind of save your race to the 100 points in the Maximus Cup. And are you going to do timestamp photos to prove it, or
just tweet. As soon as you hit 100 points, tweet at me your picture, like snap a shot on your Switch, tweet at N64 Josh. And there you go.
Yep. And Josh will give you, 500,000 bells of his own and 500,000 of Super Nintendad's bells, right?
And the first person that gets 100 actually gets an extra million from Patuli. So there's going to be, if you're the first person to reach 100 points, then you get 2 million bells in Animal Crossing. So it's going to be kind of fun. Back to the AWS event. Guys, it is May 20th. It's an online event. Okay, May 20th starts at 9 a.m. Pacific, goes until 5 p.m. And I'm sorry. No, it looks like they have a UTC time also. So it starts at 9 a.m. I'm not sure how long it goes. I'm going to have a link in the show notes. Okay, n64josh.com/ NPC 268. There will be a link there that will allow you to register. So if you're a game dev, or you're interested in game dev or whatever, there's going to be a lot of talk of tools and things like that. To give you guys an example, one of the games that just recently came out, Predator, uses some of these AWS game tech tools. A lot of Nintendo games use these AWS game tech tools. It's kind of like, you know, when you start a game and you see like Havoc and all that kind of stuff. Those are they're all the different tools that people use, and this is one of them. So there will be a link for you to be able to register if you want to check this out. And I know a handful of indie devs listen to this show, so go and check this out. The guy that's putting it on is a good friend of mine, and or at least it's a part of it. So yeah, go check it out. The Tetris 99 thing we got going. I'm giving away 5 million bells. If you go to my Twitter at @n64josh, you're going to see a tweet about a 5 million bell giveaway. That happens on Friday. You got to be following me on Twitch and Twitter, and you got to be following Stealth and things like that. There's lots of ways to enter. Okay. Mario Kart Mondays and Fridays, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's been getting crazy. It has been.
We took over a whole room on Monday.
We did. Yeah, it's getting crazy. We're going to get to the point that we're going to have to set up. The community is going to grow so much. Like Crawler is going to go take a room. I'm going to take a room because it's just we're seeing so many people turn out for this. But we're having such a great time, and we're jumping in voice chat. We're kind of talking trash to each other. But it's all very positive and friendly. But there's times that you can totally hear the frustration coming through, and you're like, wait a minute, how did you shoot me? I was in front of you, and you like, what, how this, you know? Yeah.
The net code is a common discussion, especially it's glaring faults when you're communicating with the people you're racing with, and you discuss what you see on your screen versus what happens on somebody else's screen.
Yes. Yeah. Makes it quite difficult to really, you're like, wait a minute. This isn't quite as competitive as I was hoping it would be, you know, so, but we still have a really good time. We've been doing Saturday morning splatoons. If you want to jump in and throw some ink on the ground, even that we've come close to taking over rooms. So I'm just trying to dust off some of these old competitive games that we can play as a community. So
we played Smash today. That was fun.
We did. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Playing Smash. I've also started playing Mario Maker on stream. I'm doing like evening to late night streams now of Mario Maker. So if you want me to play your levels, come on out for that. I'll play.
What happened last night, Josh?
Last night, he probably won't ever hear this, but Panga, who most of you, if you guys are in the Mario Maker scene, he raided my stream last night with 1,000 people. It was out of control. It was out of control. It was an absolute blast. So, and shout out to my mods.
I stayed up late because I looked and I was like, I was about to get off, and then I looked at your numbers and I'm like, oh, and then I looked in to see, I opened up moderator view because I wanted to check and see if there were some mods to help you out. Yeah. And it was like only Patuli and myself and Nightbot. And I was like, all right, I'll stay up a little bit, but everyone was very civil. So it was good.
Yeah, they were good. They're good. So it was crazy. It was crazy. But we are going to be doing Splatfest 2 next weekend, May 20th. Pick your team. I went team Mayo. So what
you haven't picked yet?
Yeah, picked. Okay, so it seems like the majority of people are going Mayo. So if you want to be able to play with myself, go team Mayo. If you just hate Mayo and you love ketchup, I understand. We can be arch enemies. You know, whatever. Neither of them are my favorite sauces. Let's be real here. I like a little more creative sauces. So with that, because we got Tetris, we got the Maximum Cup coming up. I see Tetris 99 in our game tips section. Crawler, what do you got? Do you got any pro Tetris?
I don't know if I still fully understand how to like knock people out in this game still. So like I do know that there's some good tips online, especially first when the game came out, however long ago that was. I don't know. It was kind of a question mark for a lot of people on what does what. And I don't think I fully utilize the directional stick to do the different targeting correctly. So I know there is that is my suggestion if you want to like truly master it, because I still have not gotten a online win. I've beaten the CPU in the offline mode or whatever, but I haven't gotten a Tetris 99 victory. But my suggestion to you, if you want to really like focus on Tetris 99, I know that there's a few guides out there that kind of describe when you're targeting. It's, I think the four choices are like random. You can go for KOs. I think people that are close to being knocked out. There's, I forget what the other two are, but there is some strategy to it. I know that people have had success and they've been able to get up there. And I think the last Maximus Cup, I think my top place, I did get third, I think, on one of mine.
Cool. But that's good. Kurt, do you play a lot of Tetris?
I'm not a lot. I mean, I played a lot when it came out, and my concern with targeting has always been, it feels like it would slow down the play, like your play. Mm-hmm. Like, just because if I'm worried about targeting somebody, I'm letting my whole Tetris page kind of fill up, and I just need to concentrate on just keeping that level low.
Yeah, my biggest focus is always get rid of the trash when it piles up on the side.
Yeah,
and I mean, that's just old school Game Boy Tetris. Take out the trash kind
of deal. No, that's old school just Tetris.
Yeah.
it's not just Game Boy Tetris. It's
well, I mean, I remember playing Game Link with some friends and
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the advice that I could give. I've won at least once. What I say, and some people may play differently, but I'm all about like keeping my, like, instead of building the Tetris, I'm about wiping the stuff out, keeping it clean. And then using the because you're going to get hit with that trash. And a lot of times you can turn those into a Tetris. So I'll save my lines.
You just make the trash your well. And that's it.
Exactly. I try to keep everything else relatively low. And then there's, the more you play that game, you start to realize, like, I know for me, like, there were some shapes that I would only use in certain ways. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. There's actually ways to utilize this to where, like, it doesn't cause an issue if you turn it this way or that way. But it's not stuff that's always just right, you know, right in the forefront of your mind, especially if you've been playing a long time and it's like, oh, I didn't realize.
Everyone has this, their own ways that they play. Like, I remember when this first came out, it was eye-opening to see how other people play Tetris, because mm-hmm. everyone has kind of a different way that they play.
It's funny, back in the day, before Tetris 99 even came out online, on the PC, there was online Tetris that you could play, and it was like six people you'd be competing against. And yeah, it's not 99. That's a little nutty, but six people. And so they would be crazy fast. So you would have to learn, okay, I can use the what I call the Z piece. so that it wouldn't cause a problem. It would just wipe out a line, but then you'd still have a clean line. So, right. And Tetris 99 just amped it up, right? I mean, it's just so much faster, and you just have to pay more attention.
It's crazy to go back and watch. They still, Twitch still does some, like, the Tetris World Championship on, like, the NES. Yep. And to watch those guys start at what, level 10 or 15 or something like that, and they just
so fast.
They go until some of them actually can play until a kill screen on that, which is just nuts.
That's unreal. Yep. That's crazy. Last announcement for, I'm going back, but I just realized today I saw a tweet from Nintendo, and they were talking about it in chat, but this is something I actually want to do. There is in Pokemon Sword and Shield, there are raids going on right now with what is it called, like Gigantamax Pikachu, Eevee, and I want to say Meowth, maybe? I don't know, I'm bad at these names, and I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I believe raids are something we can kind of do as a community, so I'm calling out to you guys to come help me after we're done on Friday with Tetris, after we hit the 100. I want to do some Pokemon raids. I've yet to do this, and I think it would be fun to jump in with you guys and have this go down. So you got to tune in twitch.tv/n64josh, hit me up, and we'll do some raids. So with that, let's jump on over and talk to our guest here, find out where he's from and what he does. All right, so Kurt, let's just start with your history with Nintendo, and where to begin.
Wow. Okay. So, I actually, am one of the fortunate few that, started, I actually worked in the video game industry for a little over 20 years. and started in the mid 80s. Okay. And so my history with Nintendo kind of begins with sitting in the office, and the president of the company brought back from Japan a Famicom system. And
pre-NES coming to New York City?
Yes. Yes. Yep. And he brought back the Famicom system with the disc, with the disc drive, and brought back two games that I can recall. One of them was Arkanoid, which was kind of breakout on steroids. Oh, yeah. with a little paddle that came with the game.
With just the knob on it?
Awesome. Yeah.
The knob going left and right? Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep. Yep. And it was awesome. And Zelda. And Zelda completely in Japanese.
That'd be better. He doesn't read anything anyway. So,
we beat the game.
Wow.
Really? And because it was so brilliantly designed, mm-hmm. it was literally the first of its kind to introduce you to a new mechanic because you knew you were going to need it later. And so just wandering around, not being able to read anything, but you knew that the shop was the shop and it was going to cost however many rupees. It didn't matter if you could read the label or not. Mm-hmm. And then just discovering pushing rocks and finding the underground, just all of it. And it was amazing. And when you got to the final battle and we're fighting Ganon, and just you realize you can't read anything. You have no idea what the storyline's really about. Sure. But it didn't matter. And it was so cool. It was so cool. But from there, I mean, I worked on a lot of video games on all platforms. And but the Nintendo end of things have a special place in my heart because of just Nintendo has always been that company that said, look, we're going to do our games and we're not going to be the most expensive thing. We're not going to have the highest level graphics, but we're going to convince you that you want us because we're fun. And honestly, and I know Animal Crossing is hot right now, but Animal Crossing GameCube was just this special thing. And when I just remember first time running across, wait, I found an NES game. What's this mean?
Right.
And then hitting the buttons and going, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are they actually doing this in this game? And then getting the Wii Animal Crossing and find out that they don't have that in there. I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, I know you have a shop and I know that you're selling these classic games, but just give them to me. And so, and without going off too much on a tangent, when New Horizons came out and I'm playing and I'm going, where are my Nintendo things? Mm-hmm. My Nintendo branded items. Yep. Where's my Master Sword that I can put into my room? And we don't have any of that yet.
No, we don't.
Now I say the word yet because I'm hopeful.
Yeah, well, I just fired up the GameCube AC before we started.
I saw the end of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I went into my house and I have a Nintendo 64 like 3D logo just sitting in my house. I had all the NES games that you could get, except for the ones that I needed the e-reader for. And and that was one of the things that made that so, so special and so, so much fun was being able to play those old games. And I'm in the same boat with you. I've started making my own stuff. I've made my own Mario hat. I made my own Nintendo 64 sweatshirt. Like I just keep making, I made a green Mario hat, otherwise known as Luigi. And a SNES sweatshirt. I'm just putting it in because I'm like, I gotta see this stuff. So
I can't do it. I can't bring myself to do it because I'm holding out hope.
Yeah.
I'm just going, well, yeah, I could make this. I can make a Triforce shirt, but nope, I'm waiting. I'm just waiting.
I get it.
I'm hopeful that because the game came out after Mario Day this year, I'm hopeful that next year on March 10th.
Well, I mean, if like Pocket Camp, if it's an example whatsoever of what's going on, they had a fishing tournament that was specifically like you caught cheap cheeps and bloopers, right?
Right.
And it's the 35th anniversary of Mario this year. So maybe when that game comes out, they could use, I mean, look, Animal Crossing has exceeded all of their expectations already that they thought what the lifetime sales were going to be for the game. Use it to push some Mario stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, like what Kurt said, if that's almost a year after launch, that'd be a good way to get people, the lapsed players that want to come back in and check in on stuff. If they did a Mario cheap fishing tournament, that'd get me back in there for sure.
Yeah. And I'm terrible. I'm probably the worst. And everybody's gonna be like, don't say this kind of stuff. But like, I'm like, look, if they see that save on my game, give me an in item, like give me something in item, right? Something that is an in item or in game item that is like exclusive to that game because
you want the FOMO going. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
you and I both played Destiny for how long? That FOMO drove me on Destiny quite a bit, but I've given up on Destiny. I don't have fear of missing out anymore at Destiny stuff,
right.
But yeah, that would get people playing if they could find something.
Absolutely. I do want to say real quick, we had a raid from GSTU Media. So thank you for that raid. And I see Imaginary Nomad is here. He's your co-host, right?
He is my co-host, and yeah. GSTU Media is part of the network that I'm on. So
okay, well, awesome. Yeah. Well, welcome, guys. Welcome. We're just doing this live. That's how we do it. So, continuing on, then, give me just a handful of like your favorite NES series.
I mean, it has to be. I mean, Zelda is right up there. The Mario games in general are just solid, but really when we got to Super Mario Sunshine, it really was one of those games that just made me go, oh my god, they've completely reinvented everything. And it really did it for me. It's funny, I've not been you know, people talk about Metroid, it's not been one of my favorites. And I don't know why, it just never really gravitated for me, but the Zelda games kept me going. Is really, really what it is.
Did you play Super Metroid?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Did you play Super Metroid?
A little, not a lot. And mainly cause it just didn't capture me. I don't know why.
Because I know for me, the reason I asked, the first game did not capture me really at all. Like I was pretty young when it came out. Mm-hmm. So it was like, it was a little bit too difficult. But then Super Metroid is where I like that whole, it just turned around. It turned everything around for me. And I could not love that game anyway. It's like in my top five games of all time. So
really? Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I was wondering.
I mean, yeah, I was not young when it came out. So it didn't, you know, I had other things that I was doing at the time, but it didn't capture me nearly as much. What's funny to me is, because I worked in the industry, my personal gaming habits changed over time. And so when we got to kind of like the DS era and more recent Wii and Switch now, I find myself gravitating a little bit differently. Like DS Clubhouse Games.
Yeah.
He was huge.
Yep.
Huge. And that was the first inkling that I had that, well, Nintendo might be able to do this online thing.
Yeah.
Because you could actually play against people. And it was clunky, but you could still do it. And so when they announced Clubhouse Games for the Switch coming out in June, mm-hmm. Holy crap, I can't buy that fast enough. And I am dying to see how good the Mosaic is for the slot racing. And I'm hoping other games, but we don't know.
Yeah.
So I am all about the Clubhouse games. I thought the first one was amazing. I can't wait to see the second one. Everything that I've seen made me excited for it. But then the other thing that I've kind of gravitated towards on the Switch is Octopath Traveler.
Oh yeah.
Got me. It got me hard because my initial experience when I started working in the video game industry was on role playing games. And yeah. Back then we didn't really differentiate between JRPGs and American RPGs because they all did turn-based combat.
Sure.
It was all kind of the same. And so it really hit me back in the nostalgia aspect of things. And I love Octopath. And I haven't finished it, but I love the whole thing. And just the aesthetic is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Old and new, how they managed to mesh that together. Yep. Where it looks 8-bit, but with 21st century sensibilities. It's just amazing.
Yeah, the environments and everything, just the way the camera perspective is, the foreground, the background, everything. It's just
That whole tilt shift kind of look up to it. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's so good.
Love it. Love it. Okay, well, let's transition a little bit here and talk about what you do. What kind of content do you create?
So right now I am the host and or co-host of three different podcasts. I co-host a podcast about Animal Crossing called Nook's Tavern, and I do that with Phil Keating. And we've been doing that since the week before launch, or the day before launch, actually, is when we did our first episode. We just go over regular news of the week, and then we have a segment that has picked up steam called Behind the Bells, which is all about the corruption of Animal Crossing a la Tom Nook. It's all about how evil he is. And we have a special guest that shows up every week who puts his head in a bag. We call him Edward Bagman, and he basically is the one that comes on, gives all the dirt about Tom Nook, and then leaves in a nervous run because he doesn't want to get caught.
Do you have a voice disguiser on as well?
What's that?
Does he have a voice disguiser on as well?
He does. On the podcast, he definitely has a voice disguiser. So we do that, and that's been going really well. It's been picking up a lot of steam for downloads, so we're pretty happy about that. I also do a podcast on my own called Storytime with Kurt, where all I do is I have a scene of a big old den with a fireplace, and I just read books to people. That's all I do. Huh. And if I can make you fall asleep by calming you down and whatnot, my work is done. So we're in the middle of reading Great Expectations by Charles Dickens right now. That's going well as well. And then the other podcast that I co-host is podcast called FTH Beyond, which is all about Marvel Strike Force. It's a mobile game surrounding Marvel superhero characters, and that's been going on for a little over 2 years now.
Okay.
And so that's good. That's pretty much it from the podcasting streaming end of things.
Gotcha. Cool. Yeah, Nook's Tavern. You guys have hosted me a few times on Twitch. I think that's how we met. And I was like, tell me about what you do. And now here we are.
Yeah. So. The Nook's Tavern is a little unique in that we actually do the podcast live in game. We have a Phil, my co-host, has created a studio in his house, in that we had to move it to the attic because it needed to be bigger, because we now need to competing. But we do it on his island in his house, and we record live on Twitch the entire podcast.
Love it.
And
love it.
So it's pretty cool.
It cut out a little bit, but you guys are doing that in game.
We are doing that in game. Yeah. Cool. So he sends me a Dodo code. I go to his house and he has a studio, and we sit there and we do it, go through all the news and everything. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, hey, let's jump into the games that we've been playing. So Streets of Rage 4, we said we'd play it. We didn't play it together, but we did play it. I did a first look today. It's going to be up on YouTube later tonight. And I got to say, that is the game I've needed to wet that whistle for a beat 'em up. It is good. It's good stuff. So, Crawler, what do you think of Streets of Rage 4?
Yeah, I booted it up just a little bit ago. With Games with Gold or not Game Pass. I have it on both my PC and on Xbox. I tried it out on my PC here, like literally just before we went live. And I played it with Xbox has gotten better, I guess, with letting, I don't know if it's only third party games, but I was able to use one of my 8-bit do controllers and it played great with it. So that was good. B was A and A was B and everything's backwards, but it worked out.
Of course.
And I think I played about as far as you went beating that first boss in that first level, and it looks great. It plays smooth. So yeah, I'm excited. We were talking about it today while you were streaming. The Genesis collection, which I have sitting over here, and all three of the first games are on there. So we'll have to maybe find a time, and because I don't think we can play multiplayer with those on that collection.
I'm guessing but not.
That'd be fun to boot those up as well and play through some of those classics.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, it was good.
Kurt, have you played Streets of Rage 4?
I've not. Does it hold up compared to? I mean, well, hold up is the bad term. Does it give you the nostalgic feels from the old ones?
So it did for me for sure. Now I didn't own a Sega as a kid. Like, in the most of the stuff I played on Sega, I don't think Streets of Rage was really in that mix. It was a lot more Mortal Kombat, Sonic, Shinobi, things like that.
Sure.
But I immediately got Final Fight vibes, like Aliens versus Predator, the X-Men games, you know, those classic Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, things like that. Simpsons game. It had all that, but it also felt like it had a much needed, like just kind of step into the future with this style of game. Like it wasn't just hit one button to attack and one button to jump. And then that was it. It was like, no, you could pick up like a super or an ultimate. You can still do your super by hitting one button and that takes health. But when it takes health, it gives you, instead of your meter is yellow. And when you get hit, it just goes to black and starts to go down, right? But if you use your super, it goes green. And then after you use your super, if you continue inflicting damage, you gain that health back. And I thought that was a great, it was implemented very well. And something, because a lot of times in those games, I'm like, if the risk reward isn't that great when you're talking quarters in those old school games. So I would never use that. I would never use that, the super move or whatever, because it was like, you could last longer by just fighting it out. This gives you the opportunity to use it, but then earn that life back or that health back. And I thought it was a great, it was implemented very, very well.
Yeah. And I'm sure it'll ramp up based on just what the little bit I had played, but it didn't feel like it was built to be a quarter eater. Like it felt like it was playable to sit down and recover your health with enough items in game. I'm sure it'd be a little bit more challenging if you had more people playing with you. I think you can only do two player. I think so. Max.
I think it's two player.
Yeah. Maybe I think you can maybe do four local, but I think online it's only two, but it might be a little bit harder if you had more people to recover health, but then you have more people to deal out damage. So you might not be taking as much, but it didn't feel like it was, cause like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was an arcade game and it came to consoles later. And that definitely felt like a quarter eater and you had to do your continues and all that kind of stuff. So this didn't feel like that, at least off the get go. I'm sure it'll ramp up a little bit more later.
It does have four settings for difficulty. So even on the normal setting, I still died. Like it felt like, oh, okay, this, the normal setting felt like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game, on the NES, you know, where it was like, okay, this is difficult, but I can keep going. The first time I played it, I put it on the, I didn't put it on ultra or whatever. I just put it on difficult. And I was like, I ended up losing both, like all my lives and had to continue. I was like, okay, this game, this is no joke. This is no joke. So I, you know, I was actually pleased to see that, because a lot of times, you know how games are, a lot of times it's, they're pretty easy for the most part. You don't get a lot of difficulty settings, it seems like. So, but
sounds like it did make the balance of the nostalgia thing, but also the current sensibilities, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like it's working. So
yeah,
definitely check it out.
Do it. It's worth the $25, I would say, especially the online, just pop in and out. Like if you got somebody to play it with, like it's definitely worth it. So the other game I played, that they sent me a code, was Pong Quest. Right now we're talking about Pong, like original, like tennis, ping pong, right? Pong. And I'm not going to lie, it is a game that does not take itself too serious and has just the right amount of charm and actually some okay writing for this little RPG that you go on and you fight the enemies by playing Pong and you level up and you get different abilities and different balls to use during your match. And I even had people in chat that were like, I'm buying this right now. Like, I'm buying this right now. So yeah, it's worth checking out. Like I was, they emailed me and they were like, hey, do you want a code? And I was like, yeah, I want to see what could they possibly do with Pong. Here's what's interesting. When I typed in Pong on Twitch, there's a lot of Pong games. There is a lot of Pong games. I had no idea. I was like, oh, is this like the, you know, is this the sequel or whatever? But no, there's a lot of Pong games. And this one's just goofy. I figured out I could dress my paddle exactly like Mario. So he was in, exactly, with mustache, hat, everything. And it was the farmer outfit, right? And then Luigi's was like the custodial outfit or something. I don't know. Like, I think probably because of the vacuum cleaner, I'm guessing. But well played on their part. But yeah, it's not.
That's a creative way around some trademarks.
I think so. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was worth picking up. So Pong Quest is, if you're looking for just something quirky and off the wall and just very simple gameplay where they add a little bit of variety where you can hold down A and throw a curveball or a ball that does damage when it hits the other person, because that's what you're doing. Every time you score, they have a health meter that goes down. And so It doesn't seem like it's going to be a super long game to get all the way through, but you know, fun little time waster nonetheless. So Crawler, what have you been playing this last week?
So I know I kind of talked about pulling the trigger on this last week in the show, but I, with the new Mortal Kombat stuff coming out, I got it on PS4. I had it on Switch. I was tired of it taking up as much space as I have right now. I think I haven't deleted it yet off my Switch, but I think if there's another update that comes out sometime, I might pull the trigger and actually delete it, clear it out. The story of that was great. I actually beat it this morning. Played through it. I downloaded it yesterday and played through it kind of most of the evening last night, and that's what I played. I'm not super brushed up on like all the history of Mortal Kombat, but the campaign of Mortal Kombat 11 was engaging enough with the cutscenes in between and the fights and all that kind of stuff. So that was great. Been playing just through a little bit. I played a little bit with the Joker this morning because all the DLC stuff is in there. If you got the big bundle that for the Aftermath stuff coming out here in a little bit. So I still have yet to check out Terminator and Spawn. But I know, I think it popped up today. I think there was some footage of RoboCop fighting the Terminator from the new DLC stuff. So that'll be, I'll have to check that out. But it definitely looks, you can tell the difference of the muddiness of the Switch versus the sharpness of the PS4 with that version of the game.
Oh, I bet.
But it still is impressive nonetheless what they were able to put on the Switch. But I'm excited to play through that a little bit, and that's what I've been playing. And I think I was watching, you mentioned Stealth and the partnership you're doing. He was streaming today. He was doing Trials of Mana, and it kind of made me watching that makes me want to put Dragon Quest 11 back in and play, which I haven't done yet. But I know that I'm going to have some RPG time coming up here at the end of the month with Xenoblade coming out. So that's I'm getting excited for all this stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. This next the end of May, beginning of June is going to be a very expensive time in gaming, that's for sure. Kurt, you been playing anything other than Animal Crossing this last week?
Boy, it feels like no, but a lot of Animal Crossing, Marvel Strike Force, which is the Marvel game that the other podcast that I do, and really just Sea of Thieves, which I've been playing with. We do another stream. It's not really a podcast, it's just a stream that we do on Sunday nights with what we call the Bromigos of the Streampocalypse. where we just play Sea of Thieves and we drink and we just have fun and find a way to make ourselves laugh in the middle of that whole thing when we're being krakened, and it's kind of crazy. But
that game's a little bit of a resurgence lately. At least on Twitch, have they had an update or anything big coming?
Yeah, they've actually been releasing new content on a pretty regular basis. It seems like once a month or every other month, something like that. And so it's been good. It's been really good. And otherwise, really, I am really looking forward to the Xenoblade coming back. I'm itching to get my hands on it, and I'm hoping that it pays off. I can't imagine it won't.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. Everybody, I played through two on stream, and everybody was like, "Oh, you've got to play one." So I got one on Wii. I got it on DS, and I never, or 3DS, and I never played it, but. Cool.
Well, you see the side by sides, and I'm kind of glad I didn't play it on 3DS, because you see the side by side of 3DS and then Wii, and then what it's going to look like on Switch. I'm glad I kind of waited.
Yeah, well, and it was a GameStop exclusive game when it first dropped, and it was very expensive for a while
there. On Wii or 3DS?
On Wii. It was very expensive. The reason I got it on 3DS, it's one of the few titles that is the new 3DS only, so you can't play it on anything else. So I was like, I'm gonna throw that in the collection just because I want to make sure I have it, because I don't, there's gonna,
it's hard to find now.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, as far as me, other games I've been playing, Mario Maker, like I mentioned, Mario Kart, Animal Crossing, of course. I've been going to town on Animal Crossing. Guys, if you haven't seen any of my Animal Crossing videos on YouTube, go and check them out. Some of the areas have been a lot of fun to put together. My campsite, I have a nature trail that leads to an oasis. You can only enter and leave one way. You cannot, you can kind of see it from other areas, but you cannot get into it except for by walking the trail. So, it's kind of fun. Plus like a cafe area, restaurant area, and my boardwalk. So, go check it out. There's some fun designs and things that I've done in game, and, having a lot of fun with it. So with that, we're going to jump on over to the news. Myst coming to the Switch, 5/21. Pre-order starting tomorrow on the eShop for a limited time discount of $16 until 5/28. Regular price will be $20. Is this a pickup for either of you guys? You picking up Myst?
Not me.
No. What do you think, Crawler?
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm intrigued, but I feel like there's other ways to play it, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'll have to look at the screenshots and see what they've done to it. I mean, I think everyone's at least played or seen some Myst. I mean, just for what it is, it's pretty classic. But
right.
Kurt,
what were you gonna say about it?
I mean, I played it when it first came out. Because again, when I was in the industry, we tried to keep up on everything, and it was amazing when it first came out. It was one of the first CD-ROM games.
Right.
The graphics at the time were spectacular. The storytelling in the game—I'm not even going to say gameplay, because that's not fair. It's not really a game, but the storytelling that they did was groundbreaking at the time. Now, I think I would just be bored to tears. Mm-hmm. It's going to look pretty. It's going to look beautiful. No question. My guess is that they're re-rendering everything to make it high def, and that's cool. I don't care. I just don't.
Yeah. Is it like spoilers, but isn't this the game you can just turn around and you beat the game? Is this the same?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can just turn around and then
it's really, I mean, to be fair, it's really more of an interactive story than it is anything else.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one I've never played all the way through. So, I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by it. Right. But again, and who knows, maybe everything will be kind of slowed down by the 21st, you know, for June. Cause I think a lot of things, I think we're just in the, like, I think everything's going to ramp up for June and then everything's going to fall off big time after that. I think it's going to be time to catch up on our backlogs for a little while. This was my guess anyway. So,
I mean, let's face it, $16 or even 20, it's not that big a deal.
And it's video game history. I mean,
yeah, it really is.
And that's, I mean, the Switch time and time again has kind of proven that it's a great machine for the classics and to preserve that and have it on a way, a nice compact travel size version of everything. So, I mean, it's not a bad way to have it.
Mafia right. Trilogy rumored to be coming out soon. Rumor so far only mentions Xbox, but this could possibly be a great fit on the Switch, says Crawler. Are you a fan of the series?
I mean, it would be another kind of open world. I haven't played a lot of the Mafia games, but I know it's kind of a GTA light kind of game, right? Mm-hmm. Am I right?
I believe so.
So, I mean, the biggest thing I think was something seen or data mined maybe on the Xbox store showed like a remaster kind of Mafia 1. And these are, I think the original date for Mafia 1 was like 2002. So these are definitely games that are old enough that they would not be taxing on the Switch if it were to be. I mean, we have Saints Row and that kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be something if 2K, and 2K is not afraid to put stuff out on the Switch as well. We've gotten a few. I mean, 2K publishes Saints Row, I believe, right?
I feel like Saints Row maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It may have changed hands. I feel like THQ may have been in the mix at some point, but they're no longer a thing.
So yeah. So, but I mean, it's one of those that fits in that window that we had talked about. Was that a couple weeks ago? Of just like those older games with us getting the Borderlands collection and the BioShock collection, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. That would kind of fit in with that archetype. So I could see it happening, but I think that's it's a very rough rumor. I was kind of, it was a slow news week and I was going through and I saw that as being kind of in that era of games that are getting kind of remastered and put on Switch. So I think that could possibly be something especially if they put out a trilogy kind of together.
Well, it's one of those things too. Like we got LA Noir, you know, which is kind of in the same style of game as mm-hmm. well. So, I mean, there's definitely the possibility.
How are you guys feeling about the remaster? Program for lack of a better term, that it just seems like a lot of games are going through that whole remaster thing just to try to eke out a few more dollars, if I'm being cynical.
Well, we're also in the end, we're like the with the other two consoles, we're in the end of the generation. I feel like a lot of publishers and developers get gun shy about putting out new stuff. I mean, I think Phil Spencer and Sony, Sony hasn't come out enough to say that they're going to do this, but Phil Spencer's at least come out, and especially with like Cyberpunk and Madden, I think, and some of the other games that are coming out, you buy them on Xbox, you can buy it on your Xbox One, and it's going to be up-resed and playable in the best version on the Series X. So they're like they're protecting developers in that way, by making the scalable technology that they have. So I think there's maybe next generation, at the end of the generation, we won't see as much of this, but I think it's definitely a cyclical kind of process when it comes to developers being kind of gun shy about putting new stuff out, even though they have a large market share, especially with like PlayStation right now, to be able to put something out and have it be successful. But like, you look at the success that Final Fantasy VII has, but that was something that's been in the works for a long time.
But Final Fantasy VII is a different beast altogether, yeah. Right? I mean, because they it's not a remaster, it's reimagining, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they called it remaster, but that's not even fair. I mean, and actually, I think in my mind, even though it probably financially was a success, Final Fantasy VII Remaster did a disservice to it, to itself, because when I hear Final Fantasy VII Remaster, I'm thinking, oh, they're updating the graphics and, okay, we'll say the combat system, because they weren't closed-mouthed about that. They told us that was going to happen. But my initial thought was I thought I was going to get the whole game.
Mm-hmm. And they still haven't been clear on when part two or part three or how many parts it's going to be, how long it's going to take. They're very tight-lipped about it.
And how much it's going to cost.
Totally.
Because that's the big thing, right? When I first heard that you basically get Midgar in this remaster and that's it, that put me off a little bit.
A lot of people.
And it's beautiful and it's gorgeous. And by all accounts, it's brilliant. But it's not what I felt like was promised.
Yeah. Well, and, I mean, they were very vague when, what, 3-4 years ago when that CG trailer came out?
Right.
Was that E3 or was that PlayStation Experience? I forget.
I think that was E3.
But yeah, that got the room a buzz. But then, yeah, it definitely, they switched development studios and they did all sorts of different stuff. But it's, I think the biggest thing you're getting at is the Bioshock collection and the Borderlands collection. I think that's, it's, I think most Nintendo shows that I listen to or anywhere else on the internet talks about it. It's a great way to experience these games if you haven't played them before. But I have. If you have them somewhere, if you have access to an Xbox, it's definitely a lot cheaper. There's not really a need to take those kind of games on the go. I mean, but it's a good way if you've never played the game or you don't have access to play it anywhere else. It's a good way to get those all together for a cheaper price than pricing them out. But still, even if you were to go on Xbox, half those games are included with Games with Gold or Game Pass or whatever.
Right.
And there's cheaper ways to do it, and Steam always has sales. But like I have Episode One Racer on my 64. I have it on Steam, and I'm going to buy it again when it comes out on Switch, just because I want to. But I mean, there are certain things that are going to hit those notes for a lot of people that want to buy them again.
That's the thing that's always thrown me a little bit. I guess, why do you feel compelled to buy it again?
Update. I'm actually kind of curious as to see what the updates are to it. I think I read somewhere that it's maybe not going to have online racing on Switch, which I'm kind of disappointed on. I'd like to have that because it does have that on Steam. But I think we were joking around a couple weeks ago. I'd like to see them add Joy-Con support to have them free Joy-Cons and do it. Like you could with ports 1 and 3 on the 64 and do thrusters and that kind of stuff. Yeah. I think that would be really fun. I think that game could have a lot of potential, but I don't know if it's going to necessarily get that, but I'm curious about it. And if they're
adding new features and things like that, I've got no problem with that. But if you're just rehashing the same game, it feels like a money grab and I'm just not as interested.
It is.
And now for new players, I've got no real argument there. For new players, that's okay, but I see people buying like the same game 2 or 3 times over, and I'm kind of wondering why are we doing this? So
we all have more sense now.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, for some people, they collect, right? They just want the physical. Like whatever system they're into, they want the physical game. Maybe for other people, like maybe there's a like, you know. You look at, I mean, even like Skyrim is the game that's been probably sold more than on right. every, you know, it's on Alexa.
And they make fun of themselves for it too.
Right. And so to me, especially with the Switch, I know firsthand probably all of us know people that are like, oh, this is the first system I've actually purchased in a while. Like, the Switch has gotten some people back into gaming. And so now it's an opportunity for them to try some of these games that they've missed. I think the biggest thing, business-wise, it's easy for these companies to find another company to port their old games over to the Switch while they're working on something else. And it allows it allows them to, you know, keep investors happy because there's units being moved. The Switch is not all these games are coming to just Switch exclusively, like BioShock Collection's already on the Xbox One, right? But those, and at times, I may have that game on 360, but it wasn't backwards compatible. I don't have anything hooked up, and I want to play through that game again. That's going to be the only way it's going to happen. So it's one of those things, like there's a lot of perspectives on it, because if you're like, you know, like I've got Pudding in chat who he was talking about like TV shows and things like that. He like watches something once and that's it. Once the thrill of having that new experience is gone, he's not going to go back to it. And I think there's definitely people like that with games. It's like once they've completed it, they're not going back to it. But now, for me, I've been away from BioShock for so long. And because I'm the Switch is just where I do most of my gaming, I'm like, heck yeah, I can play the first one again. And I never played the sequels. I never played the sequels.
Sure. No, I get that.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say I think that there's two different aspects of that, right? There's the remaster aspect of it, but there's also like, I got Stardew Valley on Steam, right? Mm-hmm. And then my kid comes up to me and he goes, you know, you really should get Stardew Valley on the Switch because it's a great portable game for the Switch. And I went, well, I've got it on Steam. Why would I do that on the Switch? But people do that all the time. Like, and indie games are a really good example of that, where people buy, you know, Shovel Knight, how much or any of this, the Steam games just on all platforms they could possibly do it on. And this is, I am willing to completely admit, this is my old man curmudgeon-y, I don't need that crap.
get off my lawn.
Aspect of it. Yeah. Well, not so much get off my lawn, but it's like, what do I need that for? Right. I got a perfectly good lawnmower in the front yard.
Yeah.
I ended up doing that. I double dipped on, in Steam with some games, just because Steam had that feature come out that still doesn't work that great, but to try to play some of those local multiplayer games online. So I bought Super Blood Hockey and Towerfall and a few other games, I think, that are great games, and I have them on Switch, but I just don't have the competitive aspect with my six-year-old, and my wife's not playing games with me to get that kind of that fun, the true fun out of those games that you can have with the local multiplayer of it. So I tried it, and we've tried with a few people in Discord, and just the lag and stuff isn't that great. So eventually, if the technology ever gets great enough that we can do that, then great. But I'll throw a couple more bucks, especially those indie devs that have done really good projects that I really like and support.
Well, and that's a great use case. I mean, that makes perfect sense. No question.
And I'm guilty. You mentioned Shovel Knight. Like, I'm guilty of, like, they have Battletoads on the Xbox version. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm a sucker for Battletoads. So when it came on sale, I was like, sure, I'll pick up Shovel Knight again. There's another factor with that, though. I have Shovel Knight on my Wii U, and I didn't purchase it digitally on my Switch because I knew a physical was coming out. So then I eventually got the physical. But I also know those developers. So, like, they're friends of mine. So I'm like, of course I'm going to, like, I have no problem buying this game multiple times. And when it comes to indie studios and things like that, I'm like, yeah, help these, like, I don't, but what we, going back to what we were originally talking about was the remasters, things like that. Sure. Like, yeah, it's, again, I think it boils down to, as long, if the company is still out there making new games to come to these systems, and this is what, how they can supplement some of the income to keep investors happy and to keep us gaming. And the other thing, the other factor with the Switch is, I believe I'm speculating here, that is an inexpensive way for them to dip their toes into the waters of the Switch and see if they can start turning profits, right? Some companies jump in both feet. Ubisoft is like, okay. And Nintendo's like, yeah, here, Mario plus Rabbids, right? And here, Star Fox in Starlink. And look how well that game did just because of the Star Fox brand. So I think the other side of it too is what would be great is to see Nintendo get behind some of these remasters a little bit more. And like with Skyrim, where you see Link costumes and the Master Sword, things like that, keep that kind of stuff going to where it's like it feeds that Nintendo nostalgia a little bit more and makes me, it gives me something new to at least go back in and purchase this again. Or Ganondorf in Diablo 3. Diablo. Right. Yep. So.
Well, and that's a value add, and I have no issue with that. Like, yep. If you're adding some extra value, cool. If you're just shoveling out the same version just because it's a new platform, that's when I have a problem with it. That's all.
Yeah,
I
mean, Skyrim is still $60 on Switch.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right.
Which has been the one reason I want to buy Skyrim again for the Master Sword and the tunic and stuff, but not at 60 when I have it on Xbox One and on 360.
Yeah. I used to buy Skyrim before I got shot in the knee.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Took an arrow to the knee.
Exactly. Yep. No, but I mean, overall, it's a fun discussion, right? Because it's like, it is a good question, especially when you're like, in your case, where you're talking about Stardew, like, unless you want to play it on the go, which that is a good reason for people to pick those games up just to have them on the go. But yeah, to buy Stardew on your Xbox and on your PlayStation, unless you have friends that are like, hey, I want to do multiplayer here and I want to do multiplayer here. Sure, I could see that. But yeah, I mean, it's a fun discussion nonetheless. So
right.
We just hit an hour. So real quick, GameFAQs has the entire AC catalog, everything you can get in Animal Crossing. They have it cataloged. We have a link if you want to go check it out. I don't actually want to see it because I still see new things in this game on the regular. And as silly as it sounds, I'm like, oh, that's cool. I wonder what variants there are of that. Like, I just got my third grand piano and it's a different color than the other two. And so
I'm still trying to find my first grand piano. So,
well, let's can connect. We can connect.
Let's talk.
I can catalog it for you. I have a white one, a black one, and a brown one. So, you know, but yeah. So, I mean, this is crazy, but I won't go and check that out. I don't want to see, you know, somebody had like the pants press or whatever, the pants dryer or something. I was like, what?
Yeah, I have one of those in my bathroom / laundry room.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it, you know? So it was like, then Super Nintendo had mails me one. I was like, oh, sweet, sweet. So yeah, I'm still seeing new stuff, which is part of the fun at this point. It's part of the fun. So I don't want to see it, but apparently they have everything cataloged. Lastly, we mentioned Star Wars Episode One Racer. It got delayed due to COVID-19. And the release date is to be determined. So
I have one more quick thing. Super Nintendo had sent me a Twitter link to a Kickstarter for Colors Live. So Colors was on the DS and then the 3DS. And the developer wanted to make Colors for Switch, but wanted to have a stylus for it. So he made a pressure sensitive pen that will be perfect for the Nintendo Switch. I think it plugs in. I'm assuming it plugs into the bottom port, the USB-C port. And it got funded on Kickstarter, so they've met their goal. And they have some different levels. I think a $38 level and a $58 level. But yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes here. But yeah, that should be interesting. So it's got funded.
Well, there you go. There you go. There you go. Okay. Well, let's wrap this thing up here. Kurt, I'm gonna let you tell us again what podcast you're on, where you're where people can find you, that kind of stuff.
Cool. So the newest podcast that I'm doing is I'm doing a podcast called Nook's Tavern, all about Animal Crossing and the weekly news and whatnot. One really cool thing about it is we have this artist. Her name is Emily, and she goes by a swan named Emily.
She's in chat right
all
now.
Over the internet. Oh, she in chat?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
She's in chat right now.
So she does this amazing artwork for our episodes every week, and we're doing a little promotion right now where anybody who leaves us, actually the first 10 people who leave us a written iTunes review, gets an illustration by Emily, and check out her stuff. It's amazing. It's so good. We're going to be promoting her artwork more, and she's done some great stuff for us. But we record Nook's Tavern every Thursday at about between 7:30 and 8 o'clock Eastern time, because we're on the East Coast. And we're wherever podcatchers you have, we're all over the place. I do a podcast called Storytime with Kurt, and a podcast called FTH Beyond, all about Marvel Strike Force. And let's see, I'm all over the place, but on Twitter, I'm at VO by Kurt.
Cool. Awesome. Real quick, what was your most wanted feature in AC? We didn't talk about it.
Oh God. So here's what I'd like. The one quality of life thing that nobody has mentioned yet is I want the ability to just save room layouts like we do outfits.
Oh, like make it and then be able to
make
clear
the
it
room
out,
and then
it.
Save the room. Because with all
you
the
can delete
seasonal
it and
stuff. Yeah. So like I set up a room for all the Easter stuff. Now I have to take it down. I don't want to take it down. I want to save it so I can get rid of it.
Got it.
But like when all the seasons come around, I want to be able to save a room, replace a room, put it in like that.
Makes sense.
I think that's about as possible to do as with any of the other features that people want, including me. So,
Crawler, where can we find you?
You guys can find me hanging out in the Discord. That's the best spot. So n64josh.com/discord. Come race Mario Kart with us and play Splatoon and all sorts of other stuff. Tetris 99. So yeah, it'll be a good week this week. And we were talking right before the show. Golf with Friends. I think that might be a really fun one to get going in the Discord. So that comes out early next week, I think. So we'll have to get a room set up in the Discord for that. But come hang out there and check me out there. Coming at you.
Guys, I'm at 64 Josh everywhere, and I love you. Thanks for listening. See you next episode. Bye now.